Name the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tomorrow we begin the fast for the Mother of God for her intermission. And I thought I'd say a little bit about why we revere the Mother of God so much. It's for very human reasons. There's so many things that we just can't do, we can't handle because we're weak. And the Lord gives us strength. But we also have a deep need as human beings to have relations with one another, to have people that we can go to and say, help me with this, I just don't know what to do. Draw on their experience, or maybe just their presence, maybe just their love for us, maybe just we know that they've been through hard times and we're starting to go through hard times and they got to the other side and we don't know where the other side is yet. So we need people to help us. That's why we revere the Mother of God so much, because she made it, just like the other saints. And preeminently among the saints, we call her Panagia, All Holy. That's because she accepted God's call. She said, let it be done to the slave of the Lord. It says handmaid in most translations, but the word is slave. And so she's completely accepted God's will for herself, a human being. Now, if you read in the Gospels, you can see that this human being, as holy as she was far from perfect. There were times when she had misunderstandings regarding our Lord's ministry. We shouldn't whitewash that and just consider her to be some sort of automaton that did nothing whatsoever that was remotely human. Everything was somehow angelic. She was not sure at one point about what the Lord was doing, and he corrected her. But she gave herself wholly to God. And upon her death, we know from Revelation, that the Lord came to bring her body and soul into heaven with him. She died, and then she was translated into heaven with her body. And that was discovered 3 days later, after her burial, when Thomas, who had a habit evidently, of being late, he comes and wants to be able to kiss her one last time. They open up the grave, and she was gone. And then there was a revelation to the apostles that the Lord had taken her body and soul into heaven. So we go to the Mother of God because she is a human being like us. She knew doubt. She knew fear. She knew all those things because those are human things. Now, what do you do with doubt, and what do you do with fear, and what do you do with misunderstanding? Many times we do bad things with those sorts of things. We sin because of those sorts of things. We withdraw, or we get irritable, or we drink too much, or we binge watch television, or we judge people, or whatever, because of our doubts, or because of our sadness, or because of all that human junk that someday is no longer going to be present. All that stuff in us that makes us weak, it's going to be gone in the next age. There won't be fear or sickness or sorrow or sighing. There won't be being unsure of things. There won't be depression. There won't be not having any idea what to do about something. That'll all be gone. We'll be with the Lord. But in the meantime, we have confusion and difficulty getting through things, not knowing where the other side is sometimes, but the Lord helps us. But the Lord has also helped many before us and shown them to be transcendent like the Mother of God and like the saints. And so we naturally, just as we do in this life, we go to somebody who has experience or who has wisdom or kindness or some virtue that we need that at that moment. We go to them and say, help me. I don't know what's going on. I need help. And either we talk to them over a cup of tea, or we text them on our phones, or talk to them, or get email from them. Now we have many means to communicate. And we get some consolation out of that, some strength from somebody who did something that we're in the midst of doing, and we're not doing it very well. But they did it. And so if they did it, we can do it. So if the saints can become holy, they weren't holy in the beginning, but they became holy through God's grace and their effort. If they can do it, we can do it. And so we go to especially the Mother of God and also all of the other saints and beg their help because they're friends. Because after all, if we believe in the resurrection, they're still alive. And in fact, they're if you can say this, sort of a weird grammatical idea, they're more than alive. They're more alive now than they were then. Because now they can hear everything. They can hear me speaking to them. They can hear you speaking to them. They can hear the things we don't say, but we feel. That's why we pray to the Mother of God. She's human like us, fallen like us, but then she was able to stand up straight, never to fall again. She was obedient like we don't know how to be obedient. She was holy like we don't know how to be holy. But because we are of her kind, of her family, she'll take care of us. The Lord has always had it that way. A religion where God is some sort of transcendent being that doles out all mercy, all justice, all help is unknown to the Christian life and to the Jewish life. God sends his angels to do things for him. He causes the priest, or I shouldn't say cause the priest, he enables the priest, and then the priest of his own free will serves liturgy, and the divine body and blood of Jesus Christ is present on the table and then given to his flock. God doesn't do that directly. He does it through the sinful priest. Many times we get counsel or wisdom, not directly from God. It can happen, of course, and it happens often. It happens daily, hourly, minute by minute. But it also happens that we get wisdom or counsel from someone that we hold dear, whether it be in this life or that they are in the next. God has always had his people helping his people. This is true Christianity. And any Christianity without that idea is dead, doesn't understand the resurrection. And so, of course, the Mother of God is one of his people. And our Lord Jesus Christ's mother. And so, if you've had a mother, all of you have had a mother, of course. She's very special to you. You listen to her. And so the Lord listens to his mother. And his mother has a heart for all of us. And so we can go to her and we can say, help me. When things are too big for us, things are always too big for me. There are times when things are a lot bigger, though. Right now is a period of my life when things are way too big for me. I cannot even come close to handling them. But the Mother of God can. Because God will help her, but she will help us. And I also have a great veneration for St. Pantaleon. And I know he helps me many times. And so we pray to the saints, but not only just in some sort of formal way, but they're our friends. And they're going to help us get through this. And the Mother of God is helping my family get through the loss of my son. Because there were many things that happened that show her care for us. My son died on the day in which there were four icons of the Mother of God commemorated. We don't commemorate icons of the Mother of God on every day. And the particular icon that Matthias is standing right nearby, it's called the Surety of Sinners. That icon was outside the room that I stayed in the monastery 6 weeks before my son died. I didn't know that was going to happen. He didn't know that was going to happen. God knew that was going to happen. And the Mother of God knew that was going to happen. And so I went by that icon and venerated it every day. To tell the truth, I didn't like it much. I don't like soft style icons. And so the monastery fathers, knowing that the Mother of God, the Surety of Sinners, was the icon that was commemorated on the day of my son's death, and out of love for me, they painted this icon that we see now, which is in a more traditional style. It's very beautiful. And then they gifted us with this icon. And so she's our protectress. I can't, when I sense, I can't go by that icon without sensing her 9 times, which is a little irregular. But I do that. Poor Father Nicholas, he's way ahead of me, and he's wondering, what am I doing? Because I'm standing there, and he's already at the back of the church, and then he has to wait for me. Because the Mother of God is protecting us. She's gone through things that I'm going through. She lost a son, too. Now, the circumstances are certainly different, but she knows about pain when you lose someone. And so I can go to her, and I would ask you to go to her. We're starting the fast tomorrow. To be honest with you, I am like tapped out. But we have a tradition that every single day of the fast, every evening of the fast, we serve the paraklesis service. A small paraklesis because some of us know how to sing it by heart or very close to by heart. So we sing it in the Byzantine meter, that really beautiful meter. And we sing it every night. And so we'll do that again. I just finished serving 41 or 42 days in a row of liturgies because of my son Daniel. It exhausted me. But this is important because we have to go to the Mother of God and we have to ask her for bring our needs before her, whether they be explicit, where we say literally this and this and this, and this person and that person and that person, or whether they just be the groanings of our hearts. And that's what we're going to do. So we'll start doing that tomorrow. I think I haven't scheduled it on the calendar. There's a lot of things that are kind of slipping through the cracks right now. But it'll be 6 p.m. every single evening. And then Saturday it'll have to be earlier because of serving vigil. And I'll have to figure out some other things, other details. But we will sing to the Mother of God every night. And she will console us and help us. Because she's human just like us. Or should I say, as you, some of you know, I say that we're not human yet. She's human. Our Lord Jesus Christ is human. We're becoming human. To be human is to be like Jesus Christ. So we're becoming human. Yeah, we look like humans, but we don't completely act like them yet. But we're learning to. So we go to the people that have become fully human, like the Mother of God, like St. Pantaleon, like the prophet Daniel, like St. Paisios of Manathos, like St. Nicholas of Myra and Lycia, and any other favorite saints you have, and we ask them to help us. That's really why we pray to saints, because they're human and we're becoming human. And so we ask them to help us. As simple as that. They're alive. They're fully alive. We're sort of almost alive because there's dead stuff still in us. We want to get rid of the dead stuff. They don't have any dead stuff in them anymore. And so we're going to them and drawing on their wisdom, on their experience, and they will help us because God has decreed that that is the way things are, that those that he helps, that our Lord helps, then help others. This is the Christian way. It's the Christian way for us in the flesh, and it's the Christian way for those who no longer have flesh but are awaiting the second coming when we all have the perfected bodies that are promised us. I hope you pray to the Mother of God more specially this period of time, this fast season. I hope you come to the services. We will pray them every night. They'll probably be pretty simple. I probably won't light lamps, and I might not even light incense because it's just too much to do every day, day in, day out, doing this, doing that. I'm the only guy. I'm the one-man band sometimes. And I just want to come and pray. If you want to come and pray with us, it'll be at 6 p.m. tomorrow, and then I'll serve Vespers because we have liturgy always on Tuesday. And then on Tuesday, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, probably 6 p.m., and then I'll probably serve, maybe I'll combine, because we always pray to St. Pantaleon as well on Tuesday nights. So go before the Mother of God and ask her for help. I have to tell you, a very dear friend of mine, Father Sergius, archdeacon at the monastery, he's a lot like a dog in a bone, I guess, maybe. Maybe this is a weird metaphor. He doesn't let go. He does not let go. He knows that I'm hurting. He knows that Marina's hurting. So he continually is sending us things and telling us things, all related to the pain over dealing with Daniel's death. And so he told me that this icon, which is also hanging, still hanging in the outside the infirmary where I was staying, he goes to that icon every single day and says a prayer to the Mother of God for us. That's very meaningful to Marina and I. And the Mother of God will help us, and she'll help you too. But you have to go to her and ask her for help with faith, because we believe in the resurrection, because we believe that we will someday be perfected. So we ask those that have been perfected, at least perfected outside of the flesh so far, we ask for their help. Through the prayers of the Most Holy Theotokos, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.